Blog Talk Radio.
Is a word for today. And the word for today is this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God has given us second chances, third chances, as many chances as we need to be saved. What a mighty God we serve, a God of chances, because we all have sinned and but he loves us more than the word can say, more than words can come. I speak, though I speak with a thousand tongues, I have to have love. And God loves and gives us second and third and fourth and fifth chances. So all we can say is thank you, Lord, for covering us, for loving us. Excuse me, Campbell. Wow. Allergy season and bad air, but God, we're all still here. So let's get into the word this morning. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say it with me, Lord. And thank you. I get filled up. And as I looked at my verse for this morning from my Bible app, it says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. We got to pray for folks. It's so easy. It's so easy to hate and talk about. It's so easy to put folks down. But God wants us to put them up. We got to have that Luke 6 and 27 through 28 in our words. But I say to you, Jesus speaking to us, who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who rightfully use you. We got to pray. We got to be on our knees. We got to learn how to kneel. We got to pray. And thank God every day, his mercy and his love. And our prayer this morning from our 365 prayer for life. And this first day, this first day of the eighth month, this new beginning, the word for this morning also coming out of Luke is from Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take away the cup of suffering, but do what you want, not what I want. And we know what Jesus asked, to ask God to remove the suffering he was going through. But then he said, your will. You know, as we go to our King James, because when it comes to the crucifixion, there's nothing like King James. And when we go to King James, it says this, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And in our life, as he forgives us, because we all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And we pray, great God, you are the leader of my life, and I submit my will to yours. I don't want to walk through hardship. I wish my choices were easier, but there wasn't pain involved. That there wasn't pain involved. We all have pain. We all fall short. But I see that I cannot avoid discomfort in this life when choosing to walk the path of love in your footsteps looks like dying. Fill my heart with courage. I would rather not suffer. I don't want to endure the grief of losing that which I love. But you see the bigger picture. When I don't understand, I will trust in you. When I can't see the benefit of obedience, still, I will choose you. I cannot outrun the inevitable. As I walk through anguish and heartache, I trust that you will be near. I need you to be. Lead me, and I will follow. When my heart starts to build up walls of protection, take them down brick by brick with your loving kindness. Let me not forget that you share in my suffering, even as I share in yours. And in our word today, we're going to be talking about Esther and Mordecai and Haman, the vicious and nasty. That's who Esther is. Someone who has a God complex is what they used to say. It says in our word for this, what are you thinking? It says, are you resisting the Lord's leadership in any area of your life? It's something to think about this morning. But as we get ready to go in our word, we know that Esther has now become the queen of Persia, a beautiful Jewish girl is now the queen of Persia. And she loves her husband. He loves her. She's obedient, she's loving, she's kind. She loves her uncle. He was like her dad. Think about Mordecai. He loves God more than anything. When we sing, Lord, I love you more than anything, it was Mordecai's testimony. He was not going to do anything against God. And the one thing he would not do is bow down to any man. No one was going to get what was God's. He didn't play that. He didn't try to play that, and he wasn't going to play that. And he didn't care who you were, even the king. But there was a man who had a God complex, who thought that he was the all that, be that, come on and get that. And he didn't know, you're not God. And I'm not bowing to you. And understand, Mordecai to God, and he's special to the king. And he's special to the queen. But then folks sometimes don't know who you are. They don't know who you know. So they do dirt and think they can get away with it. So let's go into our word this morning. I'm going to introduce you guys to a man named Haman, who is, I'm going to say it, a hot, nasty, sneaky snake of a mess. But again, we all have sinned and fall short. Get into the word. So please join me in Esther chapter 3 through chapter 4. Psalms, the 89th, verses 46 through 52. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 7 through 8. And Romans chapter 3, which is where our title comes from this morning. So get your Bibles. It is time for Bible study. And all I can say, y'all know I was right. It is a great word this morning. It is a great word today. After these things, King Assyria promoted Haman, the son of the Hamadite of Hamadatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gates bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gates said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" Now it happened when they spoke to him daily, and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman. It's always somebody in the "if it was me" crowd. If it was me, I'd be bowing down to Haman, because you know it's the king's command. Why are you disobeying the king? Because he's not God. And so, to carry favor, let's call it like it is, they was running to Haman to carry favor. And so now it happened when they spoke to him daily and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand. But Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Assyria, the people of Mordecai. In the first month, which is the month year of King Assyria, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman to determine the day and the month until he fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Assyria, "There is a certain people gathered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other people, and they do not keep the king's law. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasury." So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, "The money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you." Then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month, and a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, to the officials of the people, to every province according to its script, and to every people in their language, in the name of King Assyria. It was written and sealed with the king's signet ring. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. A copy of the document was to be used as law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan the cathedral. So the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, but no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, wailing, and many laying sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maid and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, that he might command her to go in to the king to make supplication to him and to plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that any man or woman who goes into the inner courts to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go in to the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. But if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Hushan, and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast. Likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded. Prayer and God are not mentioned in the book of Esther. But we know that when we fast, we got to get on our knees. Fasting without prayer is a diet. Fasting without prayer is a diet. Don't fast without prayer. It's a diet. We want to pray. Mordecai loved God, and he was not yielding. Excuse me, to a man. We can't kneel to people. As much as I love my pastor to life, I can't kneel to her. I can only kneel to God. Only one God, one Satan, and the Holy Spirit. And we don't bow to men. I've seen people buy us balance of politicians, making statues of them, bowing to them, not understanding and calling themselves Christians. That is idolatry. We don't understand. That is also a spirit of antichrist. And we have to be very careful. And if you go back into our lesson, a life lesson in what the Bible says about benefits of prayer and fast. And if you go to our life lesson, Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Mordecai owed his allegiance to God, who, and God alone, who is who we owe our allegiance to, God and God alone, and refused to bow in worship to any man, regardless of how powerful he might be. If we fear God, we will not be afraid of any man. People who do not know the Lord will often try to convince us and urge us and even coerce us into violating our convictions. But if we wish to honor God, we will obey his voice above all others. There's no name like the name of Jesus, and we can't bow down to people, places, or things. We got to watch what we do. For we are all called for such a time as this. We are, as men and women of God, called for such a time as this. There's so much wickedness and craziness and idolatry. All the Ten Commandments are being violated, each and every one. And we have to pray. We got to do some pushing, family. We got to pray until something happens. And as Dr. Stanley gives us a few pointers, 7 and 0, on the benefits of prayer and fasting. It says when God calls the 7 benefits of prayer and fasting, the first one, our attitudes, feelings, and thoughts get shifted, pruned, and purified so that God might entrust us with a greater ministry. By fasting and prayer, we become more disciplined toward the things of the Father. We give him the opportunity to cut away from us those things that will slow us down, do us in, or keep us from his plans and purposes. Number 2, we are able to discern more clearly the will of God for our lives. Fasting clears our spiritual eyes and ears so we can accurately discern what God desires to reveal to us. Number 3, we are confronted with our sins and shortcomings so we might confess them to God, receive forgiveness for them, and walk greater righteousness. Many times we break stubborn, sinful habits when we fast and pray. Fasting and praying cleanses us and purifies us from the errors that have kept us entangled in sin and folly. We experience a release of supernatural power. Genuine prayer and fasting result in spiritual growth, including a renewed outpouring of supernatural power. Certain problems and situations cannot be resolved apart from fasting and praying. We can influence natural issues and concerns through our prayers, and we fast and pray for our nation, God, thank you. God will move. He will pour out his spirit in his ways and in his timing. We can count on it. And I'm going to say it. We need a day in this nation for all Christians to get on their knees and fast and pray for our nation to be healed. We need a healing in America. We have allowed lies and deceit to tear us apart. We are trying to go backwards instead of forward. Back into days of violence and bigotry and every kind of phobia you can name it. We got to come out of being asleep. I know you got folks talking about, well, they just want to be woke. Yes, I do. I want to be woke. Because if you are asleep, and you are the strong man, burglars can come in and hit you upside the head because you don't know they're there because you are asleep. It's time to wake up. it's time to fast and pray. Number five, we can influence national issues and concerns through our prayers. As we fast and pray for our nation, God will move. He will pour out his spirit in his way and in his timing. We can count on it. Number six, we can help build up God's people. Prayer is the generator of the church. It gives power to the ministry. It propels outreach to the lost. It creates climate in which evangelistic efforts succeed. To my evangelicals out there, we got to pray. To my evangelists out there, you got to pray. And you got to fast. And number seven, our minds are sharpened. When we fast and pray, we begin to understand the scriptures as never before. We become sensitive to God's timing and direction with an increased awareness and ability to discern. We become keenly aware of what God desires to do and accomplish, not only in our lives, but also in the lives of those around us. It's time to fast. So one more time, the benefits of prayer and fasting. Number one, our attitude. Number two, we are able to discern more clearly the will of God for our lives. Number three, we are confident with our sins, confronted with our sins and shortcomings, so we might confess them to God to receive forgiveness for them and walk in greater righteousness. Number four, we experience a release of supernatural power. Genuine power and fasting results in spiritual growth. Number five, we can influence national issues and concerns through our prayers. Number six, we can help build up God's people. Number seven, our minds are sharpened. Again, the benefit of prayer and fasting. And Esther 4:14, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. And we know that God will find someone else to do the job you're called to do if you don't do it. If you don't do what you're called to do, God will call someone else. And it says, God is never bound by our faithlessness or cowardice. He desires to use us to bless his people. But if we fail to trust him, he will use someone else. Did you hear that? He will use someone else. But he will always accomplish his will. When threatens our lives, we naturally feel great fear. There is no sin in this. It's how we respond to that fear, with a courageous trust in God or a spineless desire for self-preservation. That makes the difference. Are you trusting God today? Are you believing that he can and that he will take care of you? 89 Psalm, verses 46 and 52. How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what facility have you created all the children of men? What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Lord, where are your former loving kindness? Where are your former loving kindnesses, which you swore to David in your truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many people, with which your enemies are reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Proverbs 22:7-8. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. And we know in our word today that Haman was one that sowed iniquity. And we know, if you've been with me for a minute, and we've read the book of Esther before several times, what's going to happen to Haman? What does the word say? He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. We all know that Haman, who thought he had it going on, get Mordecai, woo, I'm going to get it. Won't bow down to me. Who does that Jew think he is? Okay. You're going to find out who he is. You're going to find out who his God is. And it's not you. You're going to find out that you touch not God's anointed. And you do his prophets no harm. He's going to find out who Mordecai serves. And what you need for others, God will do to you. And we will find that out on tomorrow. So let's get into our New Testament word this morning. So please join me in Romans chapter 3. And let's get there. And it says in Romans chapter 3, what advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them we committed the oracles of God. To them, sorry, were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. This is Paul. Certainly not. But then how will God judge the world? But if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? As we are slanderously reported, and to some affirm that we say their condemnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. But we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin, as it is written. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb with their tongue. They have practiced deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. But there is no difference, For all have sinned, come on now, and fall short of the glory of God. Our title for today, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. None of us are without sin. You may not drink. You may not smoke. You may not do drugs. But you watch inappropriate movies. You read inappropriate books. You hang out in the club. You drop it like it's hot. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do this. But you fornicate with boo-boo. And you got two of his kids and y'all ain't men. But you don't smoke and you don't drink and you don't do drugs. So you got your nose looking down on folks that got addiction. You don't this, you don't that, but you do other things. Just like I cannot say that I am not without sin, because I am. I'm a simple being just like everybody else. My thoughts are not always holy. Admit, I definitely am not perfect, and I fall short. But God, that's what we can say. But God gives me grace because I get on my knees and I ask forgiveness. And I ask forgiveness from my heart. Because God knows my heart. And he tells us, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as the propitiation by his blood, through faith in to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Do you have faith in Jesus today? My license plate says faith. And it says faith because I drive on faith. I drive on the faith that I will not have another accident. I drive on the faith that God will protect me every time I get in my vehicle. I drive on faith that every car payment will be paid and that the car will be paid in full. I drive on faith knowing that whomever God calls me to pick up, that they will be safe in that vehicle because the holy angels are covering me from the front to the back and everything in between. I drive on faith knowing that God gave me the car. God gave me the vehicle. God gave me everything that I have. I drive on faith, knowing that Jesus always is with me. As they say, he rides shotgun. And there are times he's driving on my way home from my trip and realize I believe I fell asleep. And I got shook. And I realized that I was almost home. And I'm like, Lord, did I fall asleep? And all I could say was, thank you, Jesus, for driving. Because I believe Jesus was driving my car. Because I think I fell asleep 2 miles from home. At 3. Because I felt a jolt. And I know it was God. I know it was Jesus. Why? Because I drive on faith. Believing that every time I get in that car, in that little SUV, that the Lord is with me. I call in my office. I pray in there. I cry out to God in there. I spend time with God in there. I have conversations with God in there. It has been anointed. It has been appointed. It is my, as they say, you got your closet. My vehicle is my closet. because it's quiet in my garage. And I may be sitting there in the dark talking to God. And the only light is the light of the dashboard because I'm having time with God. And so I say to you, whatever God gives you, have seen in, it is excluded by what law of work? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law, or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We got to have what is with us wherever we go. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we know that we can go to God and say, forgive me, God. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. I bow down to you, Lord, and I ask you to please forgive this sinful self of mine. Forgive me for thoughts that are not like you. Forgive me for words that come over this tongue that we know could speak death or it can speak life. But we know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Let's speak life. I love you to life. I will never love you to death unless it's the death of sin so you can rise again sin free. Hallelujah. But we love to life in Jesus Christ. And the word that God has given us for these life lessons that Dr. Stanley in Romans 3:8, why not say, let us do evil that good may come? Some opponents of Paul claim that the apostles' teaching on grace amounted to saying, I'm saved anyway, so I might as well sin. God's grace will take care of it. Paul condemned this distortion of grace. Just because God forgives you and we all have sinned and fall short, don't mean you go out and sin more. Don't mean you go out and do worse. God's forgiving me for the sins, so I'm going to go and slap Sister Susie because she gets on my nerves. Then I'm going to ask for forgiveness. No. You premeditated plans to slap Sister Susie. Turns around and beats you down. Don't say a word. Because God put holy hands on you. Because you had the wrong idea. We got to watch what we do. And we can't blame everything on God. Some things are us doing what's wrong. In Romans 3:8, there is no fear of God because before their eyes, all sin eventually comes down to the refusal to fear God. I fear God. I'm not playing. I know that God don't play. I've been on my behind too many times. So no, I'm not, I'm not testing God. If God say go left, I'm going left. If God say go right, I'm going right. Because too many times I've lost things because I didn't go the way God told me to go. We got to go the way God says go. If God says go straight, go straight. Because everything is for a purpose and a reason. And if God says take a breathing treatment, then I know I got to take a breathing treatment. And it says, if all sin eventually comes down to the refusal to fear God. All of the heinous sins that Paul lists have their source in a rebellious attitude that will not honor God as God. Children, honor your mothers and your fathers so your days will be long on this earth. Our pastor spoke again on something from her youth. Friend or an acquaintance from high school died at 15 years old because she was disobedient. Mother, father told her she wanted to go out with her friends. Mother, father told her, no, you go to bed. you cannot go out. Mama had a feeling she needed to be out. But Miss Thing, thinking she knew what she was doing, gonna sneak out, snuck out the back window, out of her bedroom, went and got in the car with us, and there was five of them. And of the five that was in the car, she is the only one that died. Flew out the car and hit, they hit a tree. She flew out and broke her neck because she was in the middle of the group. Obviously not in a seatbelt. And died. Died in a rebellious nature. And when the police came to the parents' home, and they was like, oh, no, I baby the girl. She's in her room. She's not, no, she did not go out. I told her she could not go out. And then she went and looked, the bedroom window was open. And she realized it was her child that had died. And my pastor said it tore the community up. Everybody knew everybody. And when all the stuff came out, it broke them all. No child, nobody wants to see a child die. But I say to children who may be listening with their parents, rebellion, don't be rebellious. Because, again, you don't have to be old to leave this earth, and you don't want to leave this earth in sin. Rebellious and not doing what you're asked to do. Romans 3:20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. God gave his people the law so they could understand their need for grace, not so that they could try to earn their way into his favor. The law shows us our sin. It doesn't empower us to follow it. And then our title for today, and my last word besides this, Carolyn. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus alone, among all the billions of human beings ever born on the planet, lived his entire life by the power of the Spirit, always doing his Father's will and never committing a single sin. And if you want to believe me, go to John 8:46 and Hebrews 1:15. If you don't understand it, the way it's coming out of my mouth. Jesus did everything he was supposed to do. Why? Because he respected his Father and he loved his people. He loved us every day. God is giving us clarity. God is giving us peace. God is giving us understanding. We got to open this word and not just on Sunday, because every day is a new day, and every day God has a word for me, and he has a word for you. And when we go over to John 8:46, it says, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? And Jesus was speaking. And if we go down to, it says in verse 42 in John 8, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now 45, and because I tell you the truth, he believeth me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Jesus preached. He didn't play. He told the truth, and the truth was the truth, and that is just the way it was. And when we go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, and we're going to go up to verse 14 to keep it in context. Christ, the way to God. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I say again, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we thank God that he gave his Son, the sinless one, to give us grace, to die for our sins, to rise again, and who sits on the right hand of Father God every day, every minute, every hour, interceding for me and you. Thanking God for us. If there's anyone that has a word that God has given you to speak, now is the time to call 213-943-3597 or to push the number 1 on your phone of those that are already with us. A word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. This morning, good morning. You present situation, your present, excuse me, situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Have a terrific Tuesday. And we can go to this word that came from our sister in Christ when Mordecai told Esther that she was chosen for such a time as this. The present situation for the Jews was that Haman was planning on getting them all killed. But understand, that situation was not going to be their final destination. When Paul was speaking to the Romans, he let them know that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But understanding, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Again, a state of sin is not our final destination. We are saved by the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. So our best is yet to come as long as we follow after God and follow after. Have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Family, have a blessed and wonderful day. Remember to keep God first in all you do. Fast and pray, because they change all kind of things. Remember, your today is not going to be your tomorrow. Have a blessed day. And again, your today wasn't your yesterday. Thank God that he gave you another day. Thank God that he loves you more than words can say. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Because I got to go to the dentist. But I will have beautifully clean teeth later. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.